KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky. It's 8 degrees above zero. We look for skies to be partly cloudy this morning, mostly sunny this afternoon, a high around 26. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you this hour by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair. They're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. The Creston Police Department reports five arrests took place from Friday through the weekend. On Sunday, 50-year-old Michael Spare of Afton was arrested at around 5:15 p.m. for driving while suspended. He was later released from the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. At around 2 a.m. Sunday, 50-year-old David Goodson of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center for OWI second offense, and he was later released on $3,000 bond. At around 12:15 a.m. Saturday, 61-year-old Gregory Lee Kaufman of Creston was arrested for OWI first offense. He was later released on a $1,000 bond. And at around 2 a.m. Saturday, Creston police arrested 36-year-old Christina Johnson of Greenfield for possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. Johnson was being held in the Ringgold County Jail on $1,300 bond. Friday night, Creston police arrested 31-year-old James Lyman of Greenfield for driving while barred. He was later released on a $3,000 bond. And authorities said also a resident of Peru reported Sunday afternoon that sometime between 3 a.m. and 2 p.m. Sunday, someone took miscellaneous tools and a battery power pack out of his vehicle while it was parked at 800 West Taylor in Creston. Loss there estimated at $600. Authorities have released the name of an 18-year-old who was accused of stabbing to death two people in Sioux City over the weekend. Police say Tran Walker of Sioux City is charged with two counts of first-degree murder. He's accused of killing 18-year-old Felipe Negron Jr. and an unnamed 17-year-old female. They were found wounded at around 1:15 a.m. Sunday and died later at a hospital. Walker was arrested after being found at a grocery store at around 2 a.m. Sunday. Police said that Walker and the girl were once linked romantically. Elsewhere in state news, authorities say one person has been injured in a fire at a residence in Muscatine. The Muscatine Fire Department said the firefighters found flames coming from the building Sunday evening after being dispatched at around 6:40 p.m. The department says the flames were knocked down within minutes. The injured person was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Their name has not been released. The blaze displaced three people, and the cause was under investigation. Iowa brewers are toasting the recently approved federal tax changes, saying that a tax break targeting their industry could spur expansion and more profits. Keg Brewing is the largest craft beer producer in southwest Iowa. Keg Creek is also one of about the first, one of 80 local breweries eligible for a tax break from President Trump's tax plan that went into effect this month, according to the Des Moines Register. The new Craft Beverage Modernization and Tax Reform Act approves a $3.50 barrel tax on the first 60,000 barrels made every year by breweries that produce fewer than 2 million barrels annually. Brewers saw a $7 barrel tax previously. The Brewers Association found that Iowa produced about 61,000 barrels of craft beer in 2016, which means every ounce of state-brewed beer would benefit from the tax break. The Beer Institute said the cut should encourage $320 million in economic growth for the industry each year. Keg Creek would have potentially saved around $5,200 with the tax break last year. This year, the brewers say they hope to increase production by 50%. John Butel, the co-founder of Keg Creek Brewing, says these breweries, if they're not growing, they're dying, and it's a small margin industry. He said this tax has given us more money to continue that growth. Jay Wilson, head of the Iowa Brewers Guild, said the tax break won't turn a $5 pint into a $4 pint, but it is a step toward permanent reform. The tax is planned to sunset in 2019, which will restore the $7 per barrel tax. Wilson said the tax break would see a real impact if it were extended beyond 2019. He plans to lobby for a permanent cut. He says this is one of those things where you're excited, but you've also got to be realistic and manage expectations. A key lawmaker says a long-simmering argument in the financial sector may be debated as the legislature considers changes in Iowa's tax code. Senator Randy Feenstra, a Republican from Hull, is the chairman of the Senate committee that drafts tax policy.
We all need to look at what is fair, what is a bank and what's a credit union, and are they different or are the same? So these are all the things that need to be fleshed out before we go down the path and changing something dramatically.
The state's banking industry argues credit unions should not lose their nonprofit status and should have profits taxed like banks. Iowa Bankers Association CEO John Sorensen.
Typical family four in Iowa pays more taxes than one of the state's largest financial institutions that happens to be a credit union that earns $60 million in profits. I mean, if you apply a 5% tax to that, that's $3 million. I think they can probably survive. Most of us do who run a business in this state. We pay our taxes. The banks pay $300 million in taxes when you include state and federal.
Justin Hupfer is vice president of the government affairs for the Iowa Credit Union League.
We pay property tax, we pay sales tax, we pay payroll taxes, just like any other business. The difference between us and banks is that we pay what's called a monies and credits tax on our legal reserves, and banks pay a franchise tax on net income. The banks like to talk about our largest credit unions. If you look at our five largest, they pay, if you aggregate those taxes I just mentioned, over $13 million in taxes, just those five alone.
Sorensen, the president of the Iowa Bankers Association, accuses Iowa credit unions of veering from their original mission by doing a, quote, good deal of commercial lending and placing branches in wealthy neighborhoods.
A subsidy is being provided to an industry that looks nothing like they started out back in the 1930s. When they were given a tax exemption to serve people of modest means. Well, I don't know how many people of modest means are out by Jordan Creek Town Center, but that's where the University of Iowa has put their newest branch.
The Jordan Creek Mall is in West Des Moines, one of the state's fastest growing suburbs, where yearly household incomes are about $16,000 higher than the statewide average. Upfer from the Iowa Credit Union League counters that 3/4 of the loans approved by the state's credit unions go to low and moderate income Iowans.
85% of Iowa credit union loans are consumer loans, meaning they're mortgage loans, they're car loans, they're small dollar consumer loans. If you compare that to Iowa Bank loan portfolio, only 28% of their loan portfolio is consumer. You know, frankly, it's hard to find an Iowa bank that's interested in making that $8,000 car loan.
There was a debate in Congress about federal taxation of banks and credits, but the federal tax bill did not alter the status tax status for credit unions. There was a brief debate in the Iowa legislature 15 years ago about increasing state taxes on credit unions after the University of Iowa Credit Union made a bid to buy a bank. However, the bill never made it past the committee level, and the credit union didn't wind up acquiring that bank. Iowa has jumped into the national debate over immigration with an expansive enforcement bill that would require local governments to comply with federal immigration agents or risk losing state funds. The measure is scheduled for at least one vote this week in the Republican-controlled Iowa legislature. It would force law enforcement to hold a jailed person for possible deportation if requested by federal agents. Legal experts say that holding people longer than normal is unconstitutional. The bill is framed as a ban on so-called sanctuary cities, a catch-all label for jurisdictions that limit local involvement in federal immigration enforcement. Supporters say the bill focuses on immigrants in Iowa illegally who are accused of crimes, but the legislation has a wide scope and raises questions about local government control. The bill could plunge Iowa into costly litigation. And finally in the news, locally, the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce has announced today that they've hired a new marketing coordinator. Miranda Redlin of Atlantic has accepted the position. She interned with the chamber this past summer. Chamber Executive Director Bailey Smith said she's excited to have Miranda join the team full-time. She has a great grasp of what the chamber does and has already built relationships with our membership due to her internship this past summer. Smith said, I think her ideas and knowledge will be a great asset to the organization. Redlin joins Smith, executive director, and Ashley Hayes, program director. Redlin starts her position this week. The news was brought to you by The TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network, and TV and cell phone repair at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.